From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your Chiefs edition. It is a Red Friday edition again, and it is Raider week. Ryan, how are you?
You know, I'm hanging in. It's been a long time since they played this team. If playing the Broncos early in this season twice and then getting to these games, it's kind of weird for some reason, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I am still feeling pretty good about this game regardless. Lots to talk about when it comes to the Raiders. But I think it's going to be a game that Kansas City should run away with. And obviously we'll talk more about it, but I don't think this game should be close.
Yeah, and that's how I feel as well. But folks, we'll have all of our opinions, our predictions, and everything up on Chiefs Digest. Chris will take care of that, as well as Locked On Chiefs. You can find me over at RGR Football on YouTube, as well as all of our other hosts on the Locked On Network. Check them all out. Even Q over on the Raiders show. If you missed that on Wednesday, I had a good talk with him, and can't hurt to eavesdrop on his show.
Where do we go from here? I mean, it's kind of interesting to me because Kansas City, this looked like a game where they could be going up against one of their icons from years past, and he's already been shipped out this season.
Yeah, and, you know, Gruden held a press conference, and he was on a conference call, and I got to hear both of them. And thank you to Chiefs PR for that, by the way. And I'm literally in the middle of editing the RGR football video for tomorrow, for Friday night. So Red Friday night, folks, check out the video. It'll premiere about 6 p.m. Arrowhead time. And I caught something in the press conference because one of the local reporters asked him about Pat Mahomes and his skill set. And literally, before he could get anything out of his mouth, you saw Gruden just kind of lull his head to the side and get this giant grin on his face. And you could tell just how jealous he is that Andy's coaching this kid that he had in the QB camp and he was enthralled with at the time. And it was just funny. I had to zoom in on it. It'll be hilarious.
That'll be pretty good, I will say. And, you know, Seth and I, and you, I guess we've talked about this as well. You know, we talked about this more last year. Obviously, it wasn't a thing because Pat Mahomes wasn't playing last year. But Derek Carr would look like a good QB last year, or at least a better QB than he's been looking like this year. So Gruden should have been happy with what he was coming in with at QB, but he obviously isn't, and he's made him worse at this point. And you kind of talked about this with Seth on, I believe, yesterday's show, that maybe he's tearing Carr down. I don't necessarily see it as that. I think Carr is going to be gone in Oakland, if not this year. I don't know that he makes it to LA in 2020.
Well, you know, and you're not alone. Most people think that. I have a sneaky suspicion because of what Carr did at Fresno, and that's what I'm basing it on, because he had so far to go, and I feel like the Oakland offense over the last few years has been tailored to doing what he already did well, not making him learn new things. And Gruden's not Andy Reid. It's not that verbose, but his offense, or where Gruden wants to go, is complex and verbose. And I still feel like maybe there's some faith there that if he can knock this kid down, break some bad habits, and then get the foundation set, that I still feel like he could be a good quarterback. And maybe I'm just projecting.
I think you're just projecting, but I like it because I think that means Oakland's going to stay bad for quite some time. I do wonder if it's possible that they're going to look at the situation and Carr's gone after this year, because they're going to be sitting there with three first round picks and they can have their pick of whoever they want at the top of the draft.
There's not a quarterback out there worth drafting, in my opinion, with any of those top picks.
Well, but Colton Miller wasn't worth a first round pick either. So
true. You know, I feel fired. Like they're no, you're absolutely right, because that was a terrible draft. And I'm not a Gruden apologist. I am.
Are you sure about that?
I am, because he made some huge mistakes. Colton Miller's probably the biggest one. Khalil Mack being the second. But
Amari Cooper looks like a big one too.
Well, it's one game. Let's ease up on that. Cooper's still Cooper. Prove it to me.
He's played a couple of great games. I mean, yeah, he had one great game, but he's played a couple of really good games, especially for somebody that is just getting into their system.
Yeah, although their system's pretty simplified as well. That's the DAC aspect of it. But I think overall, I still feel like Gruden gets in his own way more than any other coach that I know. And I feel like if he can get those pieces to do what he wants to do, it can be successful. And I just don't know. I don't know if he can get out of his own way trying to be a personnel guy. I don't think he trusts Rhetchy McKenzie. I think the Raiders have shown that. I think they've made some poor decisions. And if they draft one of these quarterbacks, I mean, I don't even, was it Greer? I mean, the one that I've looked at the most of, which is not much yet, folks, because I don't start the draft process until after the Chiefs are out of it. So, none of them.
February this year?
Yeah, knock on wood. None of them look like they're worth a top 15 pick to me, you know? I mean, you got to make do with what you have.
That's true. And one thing I will say is that it's possible that they're also just getting ammunition for next year. I mean, and they can have their pick of the litter next year. You know, who knows what they're going to do? I don't think this Oakland team is very good, but we haven't even talked about the guy that I was bringing up to begin with. You talk about Pat Mahomes. I was talking about Derek Johnson, who's already gone in Oakland.
Yeah, I just didn't want to say it out loud. The other thing that Chucky said on his conference call is that at the end of the day, despite really liking Derek Johnson and having so over the years, that when he got on the practice field and they got into the season, that Derek just wasn't the player that he had been in his past, and particularly in his prime. And I just didn't really want to say that on the podcast.
Well, but I'm going to force you to say it because it's true, and we've known it for a couple of years. I'm not saying that he fell off precipitously last season, but he did fall off pretty bad last season. And I think it was started the year before that. So, and I, you know, I love Derek Johnson. I'm glad he was a Kansas City Chief, and I'm really kind of sad that he went to Oakland because I don't think he's going to be playing anymore. And, honestly, I really hated that he had to go to Oakland for that limited amount of time. But, moving forward in this game, I just don't see, I mean, if we start looking at the AFC West in general, I don't think that there's a QB in the AFC West. I don't think there's a QB in the NFL at this point outside of maybe Drew Brees, and not with his age, that you would take over Pat Mahomes. So I think this AFC West is going to run through Kansas City for the next several years.
Yeah, I have a tendency to think that you're looking at that as a likely possibility. I mean, there is possibly an over-exaggeration about the demise of the Patriots with Gronk back, possibly. Although he looked slow to me. They're doing what they have done in years past and muddling through, getting everybody back on the field in December, much like what the Chiefs are doing right now. And we have to talk about that coming up after this break. But I'm not ready to count anybody out yet.
I'm not counting them out, but what I will say is that at what point does Father Time catch up with Tom Brady? Because to me, he's playing well enough at this point, but I still don't think he's playing great. I think he has weapons around him that are helping him, but the way he throws the ball and the lack of zip that he seems to have on it, especially on deep passes, I think is going to come up and bite them, especially when it gets cold.
Well, I feel like Tom Brady made a deal with the devil a long time ago, and it included not only his wife, Giselle, as well as a lengthy career that might be historic. So, I just don't know what he gave up, Rumpelstiltskin, but it is what it is.
He sure made a great deal with that if Giselle was included. So,
right.
What can you say?
All right, let's cut it here. We'll take our break. Folks, check out our sponsors. We'll be right back. Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. You know, ever since we started this podcast, people are always asking us for advice. Usually it's which team to bet on every week. And the truth is that we don't know any better than you do. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to check out MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They're the best in the business this season. They've been in business for years. They have great online reviews, and their mobile site is really easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. We wouldn't recommend a service to our listeners that hasn't been good to us. That's why we're urging you to check out MyBookie. It's real simple. You win, they pay. They have live in-game betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys, in particular, you can even bet the over-under on fantasy points on a per-player basis. Join right now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar, up to $1,000. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25, that's LOCKEDON25, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when you're creating your account so that you can claim your bonus. My bookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Okay, so again, really good job. We made it 8 minutes without talking about Eric Berry. But man, he's back. And from what I've seen from limited practice field, yeah, I saw him moving in some drills that he looks like he's cutting. He looks comfortable. I don't think he's going to play this week. That's not what I'm getting at. But man, he is looks athletic again.
I'm just trying to get on the same page. I wasn't sure. When you said he's back, that to me means he's going to play. I don't think he plays this week. And if I'm Kansas City, I don't play him this week. And I don't care that they have Sammy Watkins not playing this week, it looks like, as well. So,
yeah, I'm not concerned about that either. My big thing is that Berry in the meeting room every day on the practice field for the young players in particular to see not just what he can give them on the sideline, because he has been coaching, he has been giving advice, but to see him go through the way he practices, the intensity that he watches film with, how much attention he pays in meetings, this changes what that DB group is like, particularly the safeties, but the DBs in general, to have him back there.
If I'm Kansas City, I'm getting Armani Cooper in a room, just him and Andy Reid, and I'm having Andy Reid tell him, you need to follow Eric Berry around for the next month. You need to watch everything he does at practice. And granted, Watts can't play. I get that. And they're a little bit of, they're obviously a different player. I get that too. But Eric Berry and at practice and being able to do the things that he hasn't been able to do to this point in the season, and a young guy like Watts being able to see that should really help him going into next season. I don't think Watts is the one that comes back. I still think LDT is going to be back as well eventually.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. But I will tell you this, that's exactly the treatment that Eric Murray's had this offseason. That Murray's been with Berry a lot. And I think we've seen Murray settle down the second half of at least the 12 games they played or 11 games they played to this point. So I'm looking for that to continue and getting him on the field where I think it's going to end up being Parker, Berry, and Murray when it all comes said and done until they get into the big nickel. And then I think they even showed it a couple times, I think against the Rams with both Sorensen and O'Daniel in the big nickel the little nickel at that point. But I think it's going to be a mix and match and just having him out there. Watts will get some of that, but everybody gets a piece and everybody gets better by getting his help to be aligned up. I think it improves communication. I think it improves assignment discipline. I think we're not going to see as many blown coverages.
I definitely think you're correct. And Kansas City is one of the worst teams in the NFL giving up big plays, and Eric Berry could really change that. If they can even get to mediocre, that completely changes the way this defense plays and their ability to get stops, not only against good teams, but late in games and when it gets cold and in the postseason.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'll say this too. While he won't, I don't think he'll play this week, although nothing about the man surprises me, so I'm not going to say no. I don't think that he does because they don't need him. This is a Raiders offense that is deplete is really interesting. Your leading receiver on this team is your tailback, Rashard, who isn't even your starter. Your second leading receiver is Cook, the tight end, who I think is the focus of this offense. And both O'Daniel and Murray are going to have their hands full trying to guard him. But outside of that, Jordy Nelson hasn't had an impact. 25 catches on the season. Still runs good routes, but I don't see the explosion there any longer. Martavis Bryant has been sporadic. I mean, obviously you can't count on that guy, but he does have athleticism. Maybe they get him on the field. I don't know. But I have a trouble seeing them do anything against this Chiefs defense.
He didn't practice on Wednesday. I didn't see whether he practiced or not on Thursday. So I don't know if Martavis Bryant's going to be available. I hate seeing Jordy Nelson be what I think he is at this point in his career because, again, he's another guy I really liked. He was one of my favorite players that was never in a Kansas City uniform. But I thought he was not necessarily done, but obviously not anything like what he was in his heyday in Green Bay, and he obviously hasn't played very well in this offense, and it's really hurt them. But again, that's not just on him. I mean, the offensive line has played horrible. The tackles, good luck to their tackles because, Justin Houston and D Ford and Tana Passanio and Brilliant Speaks are going to be hitting Carr, and I think he gets hit at least double digits on Sunday. And I'm not saying double digit sacks. I'm saying at least hit double digit times.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
And I looked up a really interesting stat that these tackles have given up more pressures overall than everybody on the Chiefs line except for Mitch Morse combined. So when you look at the starters that have filled in except for Morse at center, and Reader's been very good, by the way. He's only given up, I think, three pressures according to PFF. But I just look at this and I think Miller's given up 45, I want to say. 45 pressures this season, like number two in the league.
And he hasn't seen Justin Houston yet. I guarantee you Houston has eight pressures, I would think, in this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hideous. And he's the better of the two tackles.
Yeah.
Last week, Parker gave up three sacks to Udon from Baltimore. Yeah, that same guy that nobody's ever heard of, right? Yeah, unless you're a draft Nick, I'm sure most of you don't even recognize his name because he hasn't been that successful. And when you look at how quickly D Ford gets off the ball, it's night and day between Udon, who had that much success against Parker last week, and what D's going to be able to do. Well,
as long as the officials don't allow them to jump off the line of scrimmage and have false starts, I think D Ford will have a big day as well. The one question and something we haven't mentioned, and you know, we're 14 minutes in now. Chris Jones wins player of the month in November, for the AFC. That is a huge accomplishment coming for a interior defensive lineman. I mean, he certainly deserves it. Five sacks for this past month. It's going to be tough for him, I think, to get another sack unless he goes up against one of the tackles, because their interior of their line has been pretty good. And Ronnie Hudson is no joke.
Yeah, Hudson, I think, is the wild card. You're absolutely right. Hudson can still play. And when he's helping out those guards, who I don't think are that great, I'm not sure who's given up the most pressures from them. I'm going to have to figure that out real quick.
Assembly is not playing that well this year. I guess I haven't paid attention to Oakland near as much as I probably should have, but I thought he was still playing well, but I guess maybe that's not the case.
Well, again, it's that weird schedule that they've done this season where the Chiefs haven't seen them yet. But, I mean, Gabe Jackson has given up 20 pressures, according to PFF.
And he was ridiculously good in the past couple seasons.
Right. And, you know, and I always felt he was a better run blocker, but Gabe Jackson is a powerful big dude, right? So, I mean, Chris Jones is quicker. His explosiveness, I think, it plays in Chris Jones' favor. I think we're seeing Chris Jones become what he needed to become. I think he's still stout against the run. I still think every now and then he takes a couple of plays off, which I want to see him correct, but he's becoming player he should be.
Let me ask you a question on that. I get what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but is it possible that they're just having him in there too many downs and he can't go as much as they have him in?
I mean, that's subjective.
I don't know how much
for his conditioning level, but so improve your conditioning level.
But he's an interior defensive lineman. I don't know how many snaps he's been in on. I'm just wondering because he is so dominant on some snaps. So maybe he is just taking some plays off, and that is something that you would hope that he would get fixed. But at this point in the season, both him and Tyreek Hill are in for big paydays, and it better be this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, the Dorsey lesson has to be learned. In fact, we should probably go into that a little bit here. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll finish up with the Raiders and talk about that. I like where you were going, because down the line,
That one more time?
Hey, I like what you had to say, Christopher.
Oh, wow. That's a first.
Well done. Yeah, don't hold your breath for another one.
I'm not.
Here's the big thing. On paper, the Chiefs should beat this Raiders team handily. They can run on the interior of the defense. The only guy on the Raiders defense that actually makes me nervous is Conley. And I don't think he can keep up with Tyreek Hill. They like to move him around usually on a number one receiver. That ain't going to work. I'm not too concerned about that.
I think Hurst could be somebody that you need to be concerned with a little bit if Morse comes back and plays, because I don't think he's going to be ready to go 100%, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Morse will be out there either, but you're right. Hurst is an up-and-comer. I mean, he's a great story. Yep. He's got a serious heart condition and had it at the draft last year. I'm sorry, at the combine last year. Went really, really low in the draft. He's a great comeback story. He's still not an every-down player.
No.
He's still not that kind of conditioning. He doesn't have that impact. So that's the only reason I say it. But, that said, the Raiders are working on contract space. They're working on getting their cap in order. The Chiefs have to do that too. And they have to learn the lesson that John Dorsey taught them in that do not wait to sign your two biggest stars to extensions in Eric Berry and Justin Houston. Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill have to be taken care of as soon as humanly possible.
And I'm not going to say that Tyreek Hill or Chris Jones are on the same level as Eric Berry as a player, but I think Chris Jones could be a Justin Houston type player on the interior.
I think they're both very close, to tell you the truth. I mean, Barry's one of the top three safeties in the league. Tyreek Hill's one of the top five receivers in this league.
And I don't disagree with that, but Tyreek Hill doesn't bring the passion. To me, Tyreek Hill doesn't bring the passion and the leadership that Eric Berry does, and that's what separates him.
And that's fair. But I still see Eric Berry as to use that old military term, he's a force multiplier. He makes everybody around him better. Tyreek Hill brings competition.
Yep.
But he's not able to literally affect and lift everybody else.
That's true. But I think he could. I think if he continues to get better at his route running like he's done this season, I think he absolutely could. He's third in the league in yardage, and he has 31 less targets than the guy that is 200 yards ahead of him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of fun, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. And he's still averaging on his touchdowns. I think he's still averaging something like 45 yards on touchdowns. His stats are insane.
Yeah.
And they have to pay him now. If you're going to pay him, you pay him now. And, you know, you can say what you want about them paying Sammy Watkins, but they have the money that they can pay him both. And if you pay both of them this year, you don't have to worry about who you're going to franchise, because you can't franchise both of them. And honestly, I think they franchised D Ford this year.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning as well. But that's neither here nor there for Raiders week. Right. Bottom line, we got to get to the predictions. So how are you feeling right at this moment?
I think Kansas City should win by two scores. The wild card on this one to me is Andy Reid and his friendship with John Gruden. I think he's going to do enough to win the game and win it handily, but I don't think it's going to be as out of reach as it necessarily should be.
I have a tendency to agree with you.
I do think that this Raiders defense is bad enough that Kansas City should be able to go put up 60 points, 70 points, and I'm not joking on that. I think that they should be able to do that. And I think Pat Mahomes should be able to get close to 600 yards passing, because I think their defense is that bad. And if Watkins was playing, I would say that that's not necessarily just an outlandish number. It's almost realistic. But Andy Reid, I don't think, is going to do that to John Gruden. It wouldn't be a bad thing to do, because it would be a statement game, and you definitely need it going into the final four games.
Yeah, that's true. I still feel like this is going to be bigger than we probably feel like it's going to be. So I'll go first. I think at the end of the day, whether Andy is likely to go light or not, I feel like Mahomes is going to take what he can take, and he's going to press home, especially after not quite getting it done against the Rams. So I still think they go over 40, and I'm going to call it 42-21.
Yeah, I like where your head's at on that. I would say 42-45, somewhere in that range to, it could be as low as 17. It could be as high as 27 or even 30. Honestly, if the defense plays like they should be able to play, it should be a lot closer to that 17 level, but, it's dependent on how that ends up. And, you know, the one thing that we haven't talked about, and I'm not hugely faulting Mahomes for some of his turnovers against the Rams, but that's the one situation where I could see that the Raiders could get some easy points, is if Pat ends up turning the ball over for some reason. But I don't see an Aaron Donald type player, obviously, on the Raiders side. And that is what you would really need. And I don't see Pat really throwing that many picks against his team, or having a chance to throw that many picks against his team.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't expect him to be harassed all day.
Right.
And a couple of plays, sure.
Right. And regardless of what some people have thought, I think Fisher and Schwartz obviously is playing at a Pro Bowl level. I'm not going to say Fisher's at a Pro Bowl level, but I think Fisher's played very good this year. And there is nobody on the Raiders team that really should be having a big day against either of these tackles. So that's going to be nice. And if Morse comes back, that just opens so much up on the running game.
Agreed. Well, that's how we see it, folks. Let us know how you see it. Hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. Leave some comments over on our prediction piece that's going to be up on Chiefs Digest. What is it, Saturday, Chris?
Yep.
And make sure you check out RGR Football as well, The Athletic, and all the stuff that Chris writes at Chiefs Digest. We thank you for listening to us today. Huh?
I was just going to throw out there, if you have not gone and got it yet and you're in the Kansas City area, you need to go get a Patrick Mahomes book that was written by Matt Derrick. You absolutely need to go get that. It is a must read.
It's called Showtime.
It is called Showtime. And it is an absolute, it's a great book. And I think we're going to have a giveaway of one of those books coming in the near future.
I'm sure we will. So keep your eyes open for that, folks. Check out everything everywhere. We hope you have a great weekend. Here's to Red Friday, and we'll talk to you post game.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.